We turn to that Psalm, Psalm 55. The scripture reading this morning is Psalm 55. This is the passage the elders will bring at the time of family visitation this year. It says, to the chief musician on Neginoth, and Neginoth, as far as I am aware of, means stringed instruments. And then it says Maskil, and the word Maskil means instruction. This is a psalm in which David gives his experience so that we, others, can learn from it. So it's a psalm given for our instruction, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me, meaning perhaps many enemies with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, because they constantly enjoy prosperity, and they have no changes for the worse, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. That's the man, the wicked man. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Again, this is a maskil, a psalm of instruction for us. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, every child of God knows what it is to carry a burden. In every pew here this morning, there is a burdened heart. In every pew among God's people. Indeed, as our Savior himself put it, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Or as the apostle put it, it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. Every sheep of God has to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and every disciple of Jesus Christ has to carry his cross and follow him. This past year, since last time we had family visitation, this last year has been marked with various trials and struggles. Every family here, every individual here this morning has gone through his or her own unique trials and burdens. Even right now, every one of us carries his own unique struggles with him day by day. The question is not whether the child of God will have a burden. The question is what he will do with his burden. It is with all of this in mind that the elders have chosen Psalm 55, verse 22, as the theme for family visitation this year. The elders want to bring this word into your homes this year, beloved. The elders want you to be reminded of where your help comes from. The elders want to show you and remind you of the goodness of God and of his love for you and his care for you. And the elders want to encourage you in your Christian walk. And this verse contains a word of encouragement, a strong word of encouragement for those who are carrying burdens. And that's something we all need, isn't it? A word of encouragement. We take as our theme, casting our burdens on the Lord. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the burdens. Second, we look at the casting. And then third, we look at the promise. A burden is a weight, something that weighs you down and makes your life difficult. And a burden can even be of such a weight that the child of God even feels himself being crushed under the burden. In Psalm 55, David had a burden. David, in fact, in this psalm, was going through one of the most difficult experiences in his life. We don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but one very real possibility is when David was an older man, and his own son Absalom rose up against him and tried to seize the throne from David. That event was one of the most difficult events in David's entire life. It's one thing to be attacked by a stranger. David knew that experience very well. It's another thing to be attacked by your loved one, by your own child. That's a pain that pierces the heart. And yet when Absalom rebelled against his father, it wasn't just Absalom alone rebelling against his father. There was in fact a whole host of men rebelling against David. And if you remember, one of David's own closest and most trusted advisors was also involved in the rebellion. Ahithophel, who also turned his back on David and joined the cause of Absalom. And that would have caused David even more pain. And it is perhaps that pain especially that David reflects on in this psalm. The relationship between David and Ahithophel had been very close. Ahithophel is described in Scripture as the king's counselor. And as his counselor, he must have also been one of David's closest friends. Here in Psalm 55 and verse 13, David speaks of a man who was mine equal and my guide and mine acquaintance. And that certainly matches with the kind of relationship that David would have had with Ahithophel. David viewed Ahithophel as his equal, his counselor, and his friend. They went to the temple together to worship the Lord. But when Absalom rebelled against David, and when David was at his weakest, then Ahithophel also betrayed David and joined the rebellion. And really, Ahithophel was the brains behind Absalom's rebellion. It was really Ahithophel and Ahithophel alone who could have brought success to the rebellion of Absalom. And maybe in the end, Ahithophel's own thoughts were that he would seize the throne for himself after David was put out of the way. However that is, if you remember how things went, Absalom, instead of listening to the advice of Ahithophel, whose advice was better, Absalom instead listened to the advice of Hushai, who was really David's servant working on David's behalf. And with that decision to listen to the advice of Hushai and not the advice of Ahithophel, Ahithophel knew that any hope of success in this rebellion was just lost. And so Ahithophel went to his home, he put his house in order, and then he hanged himself. And in what Ahithophel does, he's a striking picture and type of Judas Iscariot and how Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas was a man who walked with Jesus to the divine worship services at the temple. Judas was one of Jesus' companions and friends, one of the 12 disciples. And he went ahead and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then afterwards, when he saw that what he did would come to nothing, he went out and hanged himself. Well, we don't know for certain that that's the event here in Psalm 50, that 55 that David is referring to, but whatever the case, David is under a heavy burden. This is the kind of situation David is going through. Betrayal and treachery by a close friend. And that's a heavy burden indeed. Well, let's step back now for a minute and look at Psalm 55 as a whole and see how the psalm is organized. Especially for family visitation, we can kind of avoid the Bible study at family visitation. We can look at the psalm now and then get to the meat of our discussion at family visitation. We can divide Psalm 55 into three main sections. First, there is verses 1 through 8. In verses 1 through 8, David is in distress and fear. In verse 1, David starts praying to the Lord. He knows he needs to pray, and yet as soon as he starts praying, his heart suddenly bursts open and overflows with grief and distress, and he breaks down in prayer. He starts praying, and immediately he breaks down. He says in verse 2, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. He starts sobbing. He's full of pain and fear and confusion. In verse 3, David admits that he is simply overwhelmed by the hatred and the evil of his enemy. And in verse 4, David says that he's afraid. That's quite something. This is the same man who slew a lion with his bare hands and who slew a bear with his bare hands, who stood before the giant Goliath while the rest of the Israelites were cowering in fear. And now in this psalm, David says, I am afraid now. And all David wants to do is escape his circumstances. He wishes he can run away, that he had wings like a dove and could fly away. He's so full of anxiety and fear that he is at the end of his rope. He's a man full of desperation. That's verses 1 through 8. Then in verses 9 through 15, we have the second section of the psalm. And in the second section, David recollects himself. And then he continues in prayer and starts praying for the destruction of his enemy. In the first 8 verses, he has anxieties, he's overcome by fear. In the next 7 verses, he is really moved to anger. And that's pretty obvious. In verse 9, he starts out, Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. In verses 9 through 11, he speaks about the violence, the wickedness found in the city itself. And then in verses 12 through 15, he speaks more particularly about the individual who has betrayed him. And again, it seems fitting to connect these verses to Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor who had betrayed him. This is especially where David feels the pain. A friend has betrayed him and turned against him, and David uses very strong language. But this is language inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's also language that really reflects Jesus' own mind towards those who turn against him. This is a messianic psalm. And this is Jesus' own words towards those who turn against him, like Judas Iscariot. Men who pretend to love God's people, but in the end only show that they hate God's people, and they do their utmost to destroy the church and instead promote their own name. That's verses 9 through 15. And then in verses 16 through 23, we have the third section. And in the third section, David turns his focus away from his enemies, and he focuses more on his own personal relationship with the Lord. And that's where David reminds himself of who his God is. God is faithful. God is good, and God does all things well. God does hear the cries of his people. He does rise up to defend his people from their enemies, and he is the God who will judge evildoers and give them their just deserts. And it's in this section that David turns to those around him. He turns to you and me. Perhaps he's also talking to himself, but I think more especially he's talking to those around him, and he gives us instruction. And that's where he says in the text, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So David has burdens, treachery, betrayal, some of the most painful experiences that the child of God can go through. And if this psalm was written at the time of Ahithophel's betrayal of David, and the treason of his son Absalom, then there is perhaps even a deeper burden that's underlying all these events. And that is the burden of knowing that all these afflictions were part of the consequences of David's own deep sin. You remember when David confessed his sin of adultery and his sin of murder to the prophet Nathan, Nathan told him, "Your sins are forgiven. God forgives you. But these deeds will bear dreadful consequences in your own family." And Nathan says, "For the sword shall never depart from thine house, and God will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." We read of Nathan's word to David, and not three chapters later, we read of Absalom's rebellion against David and Ahithophel's betrayal. That kind of knowledge, knowing that all this suffering stemmed, in a sense, from David's own sin, that would have added another layer to the burden David is experiencing. Well, when we think of David, and especially when we hear about the experiences he went through in this psalm, we must also immediately think about Jesus. In all these burdens that David is called to suffer, David is pointing us to Jesus. David's burdens are a foreshadowing experienced by Jesus, who certainly had great burdens. Just think of the betrayal of Judas Iscariot and the suffering Jesus endured in the Garden of Gethsemane when Judas came to him and kissed him, and that's how he betrayed him. Think of Jesus' burdens as the Holy One, the Holy and Spotless One, living among such a sinful and depraved people, knowing the hearts of the people. Think of Jesus' burdens as he saw God's people being mistreated and abused by wicked leaders in Jerusalem. Think of Jesus' burden as he saw God's people suffering under the common hardships of life, seeing God's people filled with leprosy, blindness, being lame and deaf, all reminding Jesus of the disease of sin that surrounds him on every side. And then, of course, think of Jesus' burdens as he felt the weight of our sins, and he increasingly felt the wrath of God coming upon him as he came closer and closer to the cross. And then think of Jesus' burden as he carried the weight of all our sins on his shoulders and endured the agony and the sorrow of hell on the cross. And that's a burden we cannot comprehend. And truly, that's a burden also from which we have been spared because Jesus bore it for us, because of the marvelous grace of God. And in fact, it's exactly because Jesus bore that burden for us that all our burdens that God now gives us are fundamentally different. Burdens they are, yes, but not burdens placed upon us in God's hatred, but burdens, in fact, placed upon us as God's children, placed upon us in his love. Burdens they are, but burdens God in his inscrutable wisdom gives in his love to shape us and refine us and to teach us and to lead us and draw us closer to him. And yet still they are burdens, nevertheless, aren't they? David was a child of God too. That didn't minimize the fact that he had real burdens. Our lives today are no different than what David experienced. Lives, they are, filled with many burdens. Some of us here this morning experience the burden of physical infirmities. Some of us have a very real physical thorn in the flesh, and we carry it with us wherever we go. Maybe it's the way God shaped us in our mother's womb. Maybe it's the result of an accident that happened in our younger years. Maybe it's something that happened as a result of a difficult pregnancy. Maybe it's something simply happening as a result of getting older. Arthritis, diabetes, heart conditions, lung problems. Maybe it's simply the effect of a nervous system that is strained and that is burdened and damaged, and our body is just weak as a result. We get headaches, stomach aches, pulled muscles. We live in earthly bodies that are made of the dust, and they evidence this fact in so many ways as we grow older. Some of us experience the burdens of mental and emotional struggles. We have fears, we have doubts, we have emotions that we find very difficult to control. We are easily overwhelmed, easily irritated, or maybe we worry. We worry about the finances, we worry about the church, we worry about our children, we worry about the culture around us and the last days in which we live. Some of us experience the burdens that come from relationships. Ladies' Bible study just this past Monday studied 1 Corinthians 7 and looked at what it must be like for a Christian married to an unbeliever and the kinds of struggles and burdens involved in that kind of relationship. Think of the challenges of difficult children. Think about someone who refuses to forgive and continues to bring up your past sin against you over and over again. Think about the sin David was experiencing, or the burden he was experiencing. Betrayal. Betrayal by someone who's supposed to be a close friend, someone you can trust. Maybe even someone who's made vows with you. Sometimes God's people experience that too. And then think about the burdens that come with our callings and responsibilities in life. All these weights that are hanging at our sides and that are dragging us down. And all these burdens are different, aren't they? Every single one of us here this morning has his or her own unique experience in life. And every single one of us is called to live our own life, a unique path, and to submit to God's will for our own life and to bear our own burden. And sometimes when we look at things from that point of view, we see just how unique our sufferings are. It can sometimes make our burdens seem that much heavier, almost making us feel as if we are all alone in the midst of these burdens. And all these things are burdens, and they weigh us down. They make life difficult. And then on top of all these burdens, there's still the reality of our own sin. And although we know that Jesus has carried all our sins to the cross, and he has made a complete atonement for all our sins. Nevertheless, we are still conscious of the fact that we are sinners. And the fact is, so many of the struggles and trials of our life do rise up as a consequence of sinful behavior and sinful thoughts. And then, not only are there the consequences, but there is the sin itself. The sin itself is a grief to God's people. We know ourselves to be sinners. We carry within ourselves that old man of sin, and that's a burden for the child of God. That's when we wish we could just fly away to heaven and be like those who've gone to be with the Lord. We have to resist that old man of sin every day, fighting against him every day, and that old man of sin always seems to want to take advantage of the trials and the burdens we're going through. And it makes them heavier. We have burdens. What are your burdens, beloved? Well, at family visitation this year, the elders are not going to try to pry into your life and demand that you tell them all your burdens. In a sense, you'll have to determine for yourself the kinds of burdens you will want to share with the office bearers. But the elders do care. The elders do understand to a degree. The elders do want to give comforting words from Scripture. The elders do want to give you their advice and consolation. The elders do want to be in tune with the different struggles that the sheep of God's flock are going through, and they want to tend to the needs of the flock. And above all, the elders want to point you to your God and your Savior and His care and His love and His goodness towards you. And that's what we want to do in family visitation this year. Pointing hurting souls to the cross of Jesus Christ and the love of their Father. Well, having looked at our burdens, we need to know what we're supposed to do with those burdens. In the text, David tells us what we're supposed to do with those burdens. He gives us a command. He says, "Cast thy burden on the Lord." Cast thy burden upon the Lord. The word cast means to throw or to fling, to throw up or to fling, or even to cast down. When you look at how this word is used in the New Testament, it's very striking because this word is used in only two places in the New Testament. First, it's used in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. And maybe that's a well-known verse. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Peter writes, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then second, it's used also in Luke 19, verse 35. And that's an interesting passage. In Luke 19, verse 35, Jesus is about to make his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is just a few days before his crucifixion. It's Palm Sunday. But before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he needs to make the proper preparations. And so he sends his disciples to fetch a young donkey. And the disciples bring that donkey back to Jesus. And we read in Luke 19, verse 35, that the disciples brought that donkey to Jesus. And then they, quote, "cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon," end quote. And that's where you find the word cast. They cast their garments upon the colt. And in just the way, same way that they cast their garments upon the colt, so we, in our relationship with God, are to cast our burdens upon Him. And I've preached on this activity before when I preached from 1 Peter 5, verse 7. This might all sound familiar, but it's very significant. Because the point is, when you cast your burden upon the Lord, you need to make a transfer. You need to transfer your burdens on the Lord. Just as the disciples cast their garments on the donkey and there was a transfer so that the disciples weren't wearing those garments anymore, but they were on the donkey. So in our prayers, we need to cast our burdens on the Lord so that we are not wearing those burdens anymore, but they've been placed on the Lord. To use another figure, If our burdens are like huge backpacks, children, you understand this, huge backpacks that we carry on our backs, well, then to cast our burden on the Lord means that we need to roll off that backpack off our shoulders so that it lands at the foot of the cross of Calvary. That's what we need to do. We need to unload our burden on the Lord and cast it on Him, to cast it down at the foot of the cross. And that means that in our prayers, we in fact unload ourselves upon the Lord. That's really what it is. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever just gone to a person and unloaded yourself on them? And just in grief and in sorrow because you're burdened. Not because you're angry, but because you're burdened. And you just spilled out all your thoughts, all your worries, all your frustrations, all your griefs, and all your pain. You simply unload yourself. And sometimes the person just has to sit there and be quiet because you need to get these things off your chest. You need to let it out. And really, that's an honor, that's a privilege to be that person who can listen to you pouring out your burdens upon them. That involves a level of trust and a level of intimacy and closeness. And that's what David is saying in this verse. That's what you need to do in your relationship with the Lord. You have burdens. You have cares that are weighing you down. You have anxieties and worries, and you have pains. David says, take it to the Lord and unload yourself on the Lord. And what David is saying is this, commit it to the Lord's care. Make the transfer. Here are my burdens, Lord. And not only are they all outside of my control, but they are too heavy for me to bear. Thou art my burden bearer, and I trust Thee, and I'm close with Thee. And so all my worries and all my concerns, all my griefs and sorrows, I put them upon Thee. After all, Thou art the only one who can do anything about this anyway. Thou art the one in whom I trust. And just notice the word that David uses for Lord. It's the word Lord in capital letters. It's Jehovah. The point is, He's your covenant God. He is your friend. He has established a relationship with you. He cares for you. He loves you. And He is faithful. He does hear the cries of His people. Yes, He is the God who gives us the burdens in life that we must carry. But He's also the one who gives us those burdens exactly so that we might turn back to Him and put them back on Him. And we might experience just who He is as the God who cares for us and who is there to carry our burdens and sustain us and give us strength. It's precisely by means of the various burdens that God places on us that we come to learn and experience more and more just who God is as the Lord, Jehovah, who is faithful to His people and cares for them. And this is what prayer is. This is the activity of prayer. The child of God unburdening himself before the Lord, pouring out his heart to the Lord, looking to the Lord as his only hope, his only confidence. Looking to the Lord as the one who not only listens, but also the one who can help and who will help. And we'll get to that in just a moment. He will help. He will sustain. He will uphold us in our weaknesses. But before we get to that, we must also point out about this activity of casting that this is also a command that David is giving us. David is giving us instruction. And he's teaching us as one who's gone through the experience and has learned for himself and who knows the goodness of this activity. He says, cast. It's an imperative. Put your burdens on the Lord. And He gives us this command, God gives us this command, because so often we are tempted to deal with our burdens differently, aren't we? Sometimes we try to escape our burdens by ignoring them. That's what David wanted to do earlier in the psalm. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I could fly away and be in the wilderness all by myself and not have to deal with anyone. Isn't that often our experience? And even if we don't have wings, sometimes we still try to escape We pretend that the burden doesn't exist. How often don't we do that? We just pretend it doesn't exist. We don't live in the truth. Because the truth sometimes seems so difficult for us. We can't bear it. So we make up lies. We make up lies and we live in the lie. And then life becomes even more burdensome for the child of God because he knows this isn't right. And God gives him no peace in that way. That's not how God's people are supposed to live. There's no peace for them when they live, when try to live a lie. That's not the way to deal with our burdens. Or sometimes instead of casting our burdens on the Lord, we simply blame others for our burdens. It's their fault. And that's really avoiding the truth of everything too, isn't it? Simply their fault. Or sometimes we convince ourselves that we can tough it out. By my sheer willpower, I will make it through this burden. I can trust myself. I'm strong enough. I can be optimistic. And then very often the Lord will strike us down and teach us that that's a lie too, isn't it? We cannot carry this burden in our own strength. And in all these things, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is casting our burdens on the Lord. You see, that's what prayer is for. God gives us prayer, and he says, call unto me, and I will hear you, and I will answer you. He gives us prayer so that in prayer we can cast these burdens that he has given upon us, he's put on us, so that we can cast them back on him. And that's how God glorifies himself in his own name. So he says, here are burdens, put them on me, and I will show you who I am as your God. And God himself, through David, is commanding us to cast our burdens upon him. I imagine that's going to be a topic of conversation at family visitation. How is your prayer life? Honestly, maybe, we struggle sometimes to be honest even with the elders, don't we? Honestly, you got to be honest with Christ, at least. How is your prayer life? Really? When you're anxious, is this what you resort to? Doesn't mean God doesn't give us other things either, but is this what you resort to? How is your walk with the Lord? You have burdens. We all know you have burdens. Everyone has burdens. Are you able to bring those burdens to the Lord? And here's a thing to remember too. Your elders and your minister don't always perfectly understand the burden that you're going through. That's certainly true. Really, they should. Ideally, because they're reflecting Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ understands your burdens perfectly. But I think we also understand elders are just men too. We want to understand. We're going to pray that we understand. And yet, sometimes it's even hard for us to express what our burdens are. Now, here's the thing. As the elders encourage you and exhort you to make your prayer life a priority, even though they don't understand your burden exactly, receive that exhortation that they give as from Jesus Christ, because it's coming from Jesus. Cast your burden upon the Lord. That's the word of Christ. He understands your burdens perfectly. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He understands your need for prayer. He himself had the need for prayer, did he not? That's a wonder, isn't it? And when the elders encourage you in your prayer life, realize that it is Jesus, through his office bearers, who is beckoning you and calling you, even commanding you as his precious people to go to him and to go to the Lord in prayer. We have burdens. What are we supposed to do with those burdens? Cast them on the Lord. Well, when we look back at the text, we see that this text ends with a marvelous promise. We read, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And when we read those words, beloved, the first thing we need to understand is that we are the righteous. Okay, this is for you. You are in Christ. You are righteous in Christ. You are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You are the righteous. Not in yourself, in Christ. And because you are in Christ, Christ is also in you and at work in your life so that you are striving to live more and more according to the requirements of God's law, out of thankfulness. And to you, God's word says, He will sustain you. He will never suffer you to be moved. Go to the Lord in prayer, cast your burden upon Him, and He will sustain you. He will uphold you. When you feel like your burden is drowning you in sorrow and drowning you under the water, God will hold you up. The waters will not destroy you. When you feel like you're going through the fire, the fires will not burn you. God will sustain you. When you call upon God, you're not calling upon a mere man who is weak in his strength. When you're calling upon God in prayer, you're calling upon the very one whose strength made the mountains and whose power continues to uphold the hills today. When you call upon the Lord, you are calling upon everlasting strength and power, the one who is unchanging. He is the one that abideth of old. And when you call upon the Lord, He will answer. Again, that's how He's pleased to glorify His name. And we'll see that this afternoon too, even with our sins. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Giving your burdens to the Lord, God says, "Now I will show you who I am as the Lord your God." And then what else does it say in the text? He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He won't allow it. He won't permit it. He won't allow His people to be taken away by the waters. He won't allow His people to be blown away by the wind. You might feel the blowing of the wind. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Right, children? And you're like that tree that's green and beautiful. You've got many leaves on your branches. And then the winds come. And you might be like that tree that sways back and forth in the wind. You feel the strength of the wind. But God says, you will never be a tree that is uprooted. Because God will sustain you. He will keep you as His child. He will give you the grace and the strength needed. How does God sustain us? He sustains us exactly by giving us the strength we need to bear up under the burden. And that's kind of interesting, isn't it? That's how it works. We cast our burden on the Lord, and He carries our burdens. And the way He carries our burdens is by imparting His own strength unto us so that we are able to endure under the burden. So we still have burdens to bear. In this life, you will have tribulation, but God bears us up under those burdens and gives us the spiritual strength and grace needed to continue on our way. He also gives us friends to bear each other's burdens. He gives us the church community to bear each other's burdens. He gives us the elders. If you're struggling, if you are struggling even to pray, what does James say? Call on the elders. They are given as Christ's representatives to help bear your burdens with you. He gives us the means of grace so that our faith is strengthened and maintained from week to week. We remember who we are as God's people. We remember who Jesus is and what He accomplished on the cross. We remember what God's purposes are for us. As we heard with the sermon on Job, His purposes are not to destroy us. His purposes are to bless us and to give us an expected end. And again, one other way in which God sustains us and encourages us is through the work of family visitation. And so we end on that note. May the Lord bless this upcoming season of family visitation. May the elders truly be given the grace to reflect Jesus Christ. May you hear Christ in the encouraging words of the elders. And may we together as one body, individually, families, and then as one body be strengthened in our walk with the Lord. And may we be comforted and encouraged through the exceeding great and precious promises that God gives us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that thou art our God, and we are thy people. And in Jesus Christ, we are thine forever, and nothing can separate us from thy love and thy care. Impress these truths upon us, Father, and encourage us to pray and to cast our burdens upon thee, and in that way to glorify thee with the burdens that thou hast given us, and to showcase thy power and thy strength in our lives. Bless us also in this season of family visitation. May it indeed be a blessing to our homes and families and our souls individually. And may the church be built up. And may the church more and more be drawn more intimately, more closely in her relationship to Jesus Christ, her Lord and her Savior. And may we be drawn closer to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.